This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
Everly's got the shot and he scores. Jordan Everly makes it a 2-0 game.
To the corner it goes. Everly back to Jones. Jones with a shot. Pass saved by Irving. And there is Nugent Hopkins on the doorstep. His second goal of the game makes it 3-1.
It's 12:51, a couple of highlights from last night's game. This is Nation Radio around until 2 o'clock today with Oilers stories of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and major hockey news around the world. And we're joined now by Kent Wilson from Flames Nation. Kent, how are you this afternoon?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Wanted to touch base with you. A big, big game last night, and the Edmonton Oilers obviously wanted to spoil the party. And Calgary, you know, it's funny, they had a strong week, a very strong week, but a very poor ending with the game last night. Was it a case of the veterans just running out of gas?
Well, to tell you the truth, you know, Calgary's been winning despite a lot of things. You know, pucks have been going in for them, but they're still not generating a lot of shots every game. They still don't generate a lot of chances. I think they didn't even get into double digits against Edmonton by my count last night. They only had 10 against Phoenix, and I've been doing this for about 3 years, and I think the minimum that most NHL teams should shoot for every night is about 15.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the Flames aren't even passing that basic threshold most nights. I mean, they're winning despite this, and maybe they'll get into the playoffs, but I got to say, this is, of the last 3 years, the three seasons, well, the last two, they haven't made the playoffs. This is probably the weakest iteration of the Calgary Flames. And if they make the playoffs, it's not because they're a better team than they were previously. It's because they got luckier.
Well, they still have 10 games left, and they're, what, like a point out of the playoff position right now. So this is entirely doable.
It is, yeah. I think the real challenge isn't the number of points between them and eighth. It's the number of teams, because there's literally four or five teams jockeying for that last spot. So they have to beat out the Kings, San Jose Sharks, and I think Phoenix is the other team they're battling with right now.
San Jose seems to have a pretty tough schedule from what I've seen, and they would be, you know, from my point of view, the likely team because of games played and where they are in the standings. But they do have a tougher schedule, I think, than a team like Calgary. Would you agree?
Yeah, they do. And the strange thing with San Jose is they've just gone ice cold recently. They can't seem to get goals. Their goaltending isn't very good, but they have by far the strongest fundamentals of any team in the race. Like, technically, I think they should be a top 3-5 team in the West, given how often they shoot the puck, how little shots they give up, and how good their power play is. It's just things aren't working for them right now.
A lot of talk online about goaltending for Calgary last night, but I thought that the Oilers' first two goals, for sure, were darts, and Irving looked fine. It was just that they were terrific shots.
Yeah, Kiprusoff isn't saving those shots either. Those are just good goals. Players make their shots sometimes.
The kid Berchi got sent out today, right?
He did, yeah.
Okay, you have to say, from a Flames point of view, this is the most promising young player to come along in a long time.
In recent memory, at least, I think the last time I was this jazzed by a prospect was Dion Phaneuf before he made the NHL, mm-hmm. because he was, you know, the CHL Defender of the Year and you know, ninth overall pick. But in terms of forwards, I can't remember the last time we had the Flames had a guy this promising coming out of, especially a guy that they picked. I think Jerome McGinn was the last guy to make it as a team in a few games, and that was a Dallas pick. So the Flames, they haven't picked an impact forward in a very long time.
Well, and they're not a team that pushes their players quickly, so could you see them, I don't think, based on his skill set and what he's done in the WHL along with his early impact in the National Hockey League, I don't think this kid, if he were an Oiler prospect, he would never see the AHL. Can you see him spending a year in the American Hockey League?
No. I mean, he's lapping the field in junior right now. He turns 20 in October, so it's not like he's going to go into the next year as a teenager, which is sort of dicey. So it's, I mean, unless he comes into camp and is completely terrible and the team decides he needs some sort of warm-up in the AHL, no, I fully expect him to be a Flame from day one next year.
I think I asked you this last week, and I just wanted to reiterate it because it's an interesting point to me just to see the difference between the two cities in Alberta where the Oilers have really preached rebuild and a full rebuild, whereas Calgary refuses to give into it. Is there a feeling amongst Flames fans, number one, that good for Feaster and good for Canada Ken King for not giving into that, but also that the rebuild when it comes might be even from a deeper part of the standings?
Well, it's I think the opinion changes weekly. When the Flames go into some sort of tailspin, it shifts to, you know, the Calgary should stop fighting the inevitable. They should rebuild. The team's missed the playoffs X amount of years, and all their players are older. And then when you have a week or two like they've had recently, people start saying, yes, you know, it's worth to try to win things and make it into the playoffs, and it's good not to just fail and try to win via that route. So it really depends on what the team is doing at the time, which is true of probably most fan bases. But personally, I see the team eventually just falling off because, you know, aside from Sven Berchi, there isn't another blue chip prospect on the team. And all of their difference makers right now are 32, 33. Aguinla's going to be 35 coming up this year, and the team just doesn't have the guys to step up in their absence once they, you know, inevitably fall off. So I don't think they'll do a rebuild until they have to do a rebuild, and that should be coming in the next year or two.
Flames play tomorrow night against Columbus, right?
They do.
And is that guaranteed victory night?
There's no guaranteed victory for the Calgary Flames.
Before we let you go, we've beaten it like a dead horse, but I wanted your opinion on the... I expressed how I felt about the Sarich Hall hit. I'd like your opinion on the hit last night.
I thought it was more an unfortunate incident than anything. I'm sure Sarich would have hit him hard, even if he'd stood up, but it was mostly just the slip and the fall and then, you know, his head going forward and contacting with Sarich just at the wrong time.
Yeah. One final one. Speeds just tweeted to both of us. Did Saprykin play as a 19-year-old?
That's a good question. He may have. He didn't play well as a 19-year-old.
Right.
If he did.
Well, anyway, we got something to look up then. Hey, Kent, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Alan.
All right. That's Kent Wilson from Flames Nation, and we thank him for his time. And I do agree with him. I think it was, you know, Bruce McCurdy said, you know, it's probably a charge. And I think that's a point to be made. Charging often doesn't get called anymore. I mean, that kid in Philadelphia, I can't remember his name, but he is a human charging machine. The guy could get charged every shift with a charging call. Yeah, that's him. And what's his name?
Dan Carcillo you're talking about?
No, it's the other kid. He's a rookie, I think, Philadelphia. This will only take an hour. Let me look it up.
All I've got is Couturier for Philly rookies. That's...
Oh, Couturier is good. I like Couturier.
He's all right.
This is just the worst. I'm so sorry for doing this to everybody. He's a big, tough guy. It's not Hartnell. Ronaldo. Zach Ronaldo. Honest to God, you could call him every time he goes out there. Anyway, Zach Ronaldo, and that was that kind of hit where you could probably get charged, called for charging. But, you know, anyway, Taylor Hall, apparently the word is that it's good early on, and they did the right thing. They shut him down. And, you know, if they do it for the whole year, who cares, right? The owners aren't going anywhere. Make sure that Taylor Hall is healthy for next season, and we'll wait and see on that. Now, coming up in the next half hour, Thomas Drantz, interesting guy from Canucks Army and various other locales on the internet, and Mike Krushelnicki, former Edmonton Oiler, one of the greats from those fabulous Stanley teams. We'll talk to him about what he's doing now, the things that he's doing for charity. Very interesting item coming up at the end of the month here near Edmonton in Leduc. And we'll also review and revisit the most famous trade in NHL history. This is Nation Radio, brought to you by Edmonton Motors.